Across the rugged Indian territory rides a tall young man on a mission of mercy. His medical bag strapped on one hip, his six-shooter on the other. This is Dr. Six Gun. The National Broadcasting Company brings you another episode in the exciting adventure series, Dr. Six Gun. Gray Matson, M.D., was the gun-toting frontier doctor who roamed the length and breadth of the old Indian territory. Friend and physician to white man and Indian alike, the symbol of justice and mercy in the lawless west of the 1870s, this legendary figure was known to all as Dr. Six Gun.
Many men who say that the history of the West is the history of guns. The Navy Colts of the James Gang, the Smith & Wesson 45, the Winchester Carbine, the Gambler's Tiny Derringer. Well, perhaps this is true in a country where almost all adult males carry firearms. All except me. And who am I? Pablo, the Gypsy Peddler. And this is my friend, Midnight.
Midnight?
He is a raven.
Gotcha, coming.
Hey, you see, he talks.
Reach for the ceiling.
But do not be alarmed. He never carries a gun either. Perhaps he has picked up that philosophy from me. For it is written, he who lives by the sword shall perish by the sword. And I imagine that would hold equally as well for a 45 caliber pistol. But this is not the philosophy adhered to by my friend Doc Sixgun, for he travels leaning slightly to the right from the weight of his gun. I remember once we were traveling together and we entered the cattle town of Rail End in the eastern part of the territory. And Doc and I had both come off circuit. Doc dispensing medicines and good advice, while I attended to the spiritual requirements such as needles and pins and ribbons.
Town's grown since we were in last year, Pablo.
Yes, yes, I see. Six saloons grow where but two grew before.
Well, I suppose that is progress. But I was thinking of that freight depot, the cattle yards down by the railway.
Oh.
That's 300 miles off the northern end of the cattle trail from the south.
Which accounts for the saloons. With all those wages being paid out to the cowhands, someone has to take charge of it. We surveyed the street and picked out an imposing edifice with a gold-lettered sign across the entrance which read, The Cattle Palace. And compared to O'Shea's saloon in the town of Frenchman's Ford, it was indeed a palace. The bar seemed to stretch for miles, and there were half a dozen barkeeps stationed behind it. Their checkered vests resplendent, and their hair parted neatly in the middle.
What's your pleasure, gentlemen? Whiskey for my friend. I'll take a bottle of that Arkansas Springs mineral water if you got it.
Well, mister, I can serve the whiskey, but I can't serve you.
Well, if you don't have the mineral water...
And that. It's your gun.
What about it?
You ain't supposed to have it.
What do you mean?
Well, we got an ordinance here in Rail End. Can't nobody carry a gun except in the law.
No. Well, now, when was that passed?
Oh, last year. It was the marshal's idea.
Oh, say, that sounds interesting. What do I do with my gun?
You can check it down at the marshal's office, or at the Wells Fargo, or right here at the saloon. Except the boss charges 2 bits for checking fee. If I was you, I'd tote it down to the marshal's office and get it for free.
Well, I don't mind the quarter, but I'm interested. How's it worked out?
Well, I'll tell you. First couple of weeks, it was a caution. Seemed like when you took a gun away from any one of them cow folks traveling through, he felt like he was losing his pants.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Anybody get hurt?
Yep. One or two unidentified corpses got planted out on Boot Hill with bullets in their eyes. Marshal Anders is a right capable man with firearms.
Does the marshal find it cut down on the gunplay?
Better ask him, mister. He's right up there, leaning on the bar. The ball fella by the spittoon.
Oh, yes. Well, here's my gun. And here's the two bits. You can bring our drinks up at the marshal.
You see, Doc? Many times I've spoken to you of the advantages of not carrying a gun. And now I am 2 bits ahead.
Well, Pablo, the saloon will get it anyway, one way or another. That must be the marshal. Excuse me. Marshal Anders?
Huh? What is it, mister?
I'm Dr. Matson from Frenchman's Ford.
Yeah?
And this is my friend Pablo.
How do you do?
Howdy.
The barkeep's just been telling me about your ordinance.
Oh? Well, now, there are two schools of thought about that. I got the idea from Wyatt Earp at the Dodge. I served under him for a spell at Ellenson, Kansas. He used to claim if you took them deadly weapons off a gang of cowpunchers, no matter how drunk they got, they was no more dangerous than a gang of farmhands back east somewhere. I don't know as I go that far with them, but I can tell you, if I had my choice, when I got a hold of crazy drunk Waddy into the pokey on a Saturday night, I just assume I was the only one toting a gun.
I can see that. That barkeep said you had a little gunplay when you enforced the ordinance.
Just enough to keep my hand there. I tell you, Doctor, there's nothing so comforting to a peace officer as to know he can walk down the street with a pretty good chance of getting to the end of it without a slug in his back.
It was a little strange for one used to the lethal atmosphere of the Bull Run to see a whole row of men lined up at the bar with their pants on an even keel, not pulled to one side by the weight of a gun belt and pistol. It was about 11 o'clock in the evening when we saw a practical demonstration of the rail end ordinance at work. There was a crash and a clatter outside. The swinging doors burst open, and in the doorway stood a man wavering slightly on his high-heeled boots, his hat on the back of his head, and bulking large at each hip, a gun.
I'm wild, and I'm woolly, and I'm full of feet, and I ain't been carried above the knees, and this here's my night to howl.
Eddie.
Yes, Mr. Fitzsimmons?
Get out the back way and look for Marshal Anders.
Where should I look, Mr. Fitzsimmons?
You know where to look. Try the Silver Horn, Stockman's Rest, and our judgment. If you can't find him anywhere else, go down to his office and see if he's there.
Oh, what do you want I should tell him, Mr. Fitzsimmons?
Tell him we got a live one up here with two guns as big as life and twice as natural. Now go on, get out.
Yes, sir. I'll get him.
Expecting trouble, Barkey? Mister, in this business, I'm always expecting trouble. And here it comes.
I'm half horse, half alligator. I can whoop my weight in Comanches and wrestle a long horn steer with my bare hands to the cold uncle. And I'll lick the man that says it ain't so. Barkeep, whiskey.
Sorry, mister, I can't serve you.
What are you talking about? I got money. Here. I got paid off this morning, and I got $12 left, and I ain't to see it gone before dawn. Now, come on now, whiskey, and fill the glass up so he sparkles and twinkles like a pretty girl on a hayride.
Sorry, mister, I just can't.
Huh? What do you mean?
I just can't serve you, that's all. See as much as my job.
Now, barkeep, you're getting downright insulting.
Now, keep your shirt on, Kelsey.
Now, listen here. I ain't no mood for stalling around. You listen to me, you pot-bellied weasel with them two spit curls hanging down over your eyes. You get a glass of whiskey up here on the bar, or I'm liable to lay you out behind it. I'm fast losing my patience.
It ain't nothing personal, cowboy. It's your gun. You got to check him before you can get served a drink.
Huh? What are you talking about? You local?
That's the city ordinance. Ain't nobody can carry guns inside of town.
Who says I can? You? Why, a line of bullets through each one of your ears.
No, take it easy. I told you it wasn't me.
Then who is it? Who says I can't carry my own gun?
I do.
And who are you? Oh, I see you got the tin star on your vest. You must be the marshal.
That's right. Now, listen to me, cowboy.
Huh?
I'll give you just three to check your guns peaceable at the bar here. Or else I'll take them away from you myself.
Like to see you do that.
You will. All right, cowboy. One.
What kind of a crazy law is that? Man can't carry his own guns? Well, I paid for them myself.
Two.
Hey, what have you got here in this town? A saloon or a church social?
Three. All right, now, cowboy. I'll take your gun.
Hey, what you hit me with, Marshal?
Brass knuckles, cowboy. My hands ain't as hard as they used to be. On your feet and come with me.
What do you mean? You got my guns, haven't you? What more do you want?
10 days of your time in the cooler.
10 days? For what?
Resisting an officer. Now, on your feet. Let's get going.
And so, the ordinance in the town of Rail End was enforced by Marshal Andrews. Doc was very impressed.
You know, Pablo, that ordinance, that must be the answer. Half the shootings in Frenchman's Ford are either from some kind of drunken horseplay or cowpoke with an exaggerated sense of humor.
Huh?
Why, it's like the Middle Ages when everybody wore swords and fought all the time. Take the guns away and they won't be so quick to fight.
Oh, you think not, eh?
Why, sure. Man doesn't really expect to get hit with a bullet. But he knows darn well that if he gets into a fist fight, he's liable to get a mouthful of knuckles.
But, Doc, do you think such an ordinance would work in Frenchman's Fort?
I don't know, but I'd sure like to see it tried. I get awful tired of probing for bullets and sawing out wounds. I've got more important things to do.
Doc tried to convince the town of Frenchman's Fort to endorse such an ordinance, but without notable success. O'Shea, the Bull Roar Saloon, expressed the most frequent objection.
Doc, you just can't change human nature. Now, a cowhand is just going to naturally carry a gun. I always have, and I always will.
But I tell you, I've seen it work in Rail End.
Well, now, it might work in a real citified eastern kind of place like Rail End. But out here in the territory, it's just flying in the face of nature.
Now, don't you try to tell me about nature, O'Shea. I've delivered a good many infants in my time, and not one of them arrived packing a cartridge belt, a holster, and 45 pistols.
Yeah, well, you've got a point, Doc. But I'm telling you, it just won't work.
Doc got no help in his campaign. The sheriff, who might be expected to approve such a move, put it this way.
Well, now, Doc, you got to figure it this way. It ain't a man gets himself in trouble with the law. It's the law gets itself in trouble with a man.
Oh, now, that's ridiculous, Sheriff.
The way I figure it, the less laws there are around here, the less fellas are going to be tempted to break them.
Maybe you'd just be afraid to enforce an ordinance like that.
Well, maybe you got something there, Doc. I ain't no Wyatt Earp. I ain't no Milton Manders either. I don't care if them crazy cowhands shoot each other full of holes. Just so long as they don't steal no horses or rustle no cows or get fancy ideas about the U.S. mail. Ain't gonna get nowhere around here trying to separate no man from his guns.
But still, the bright picture of a revolverless town glimmered before Doc until the whole matter became a town joke and all serious possibility of putting it into effect disappeared. And so, the next spring, when Doc and I again rode into the town of Rail End, Doc was a little thoughtful and a little sad.
Well, I suppose we might as well stop in at the marshal's office and check my gun.
Mm-hmm.
No point paying 2 bits to the cattle fellas.
Well, I'll meet you down there. I'll have your
What was it, the mineral water waiting for you?
Well, just you make sure there's a head on it.
Oh, I'll have it waiting.
See you.
Yes? What can I do for you?
I'm looking for the marshal.
What do you want with him?
Oh, just wanted to say hello and check my gun.
I'll take your gun.
You a deputy?
No.
Well, where's Marshal Anders?
Ain't no such animal.
What do you mean?
Anders ain't Marshal no more. I am.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Happened a month ago. What's your name, mister?
Matson. Dr. Matson, Frenchman's Ford.
All right, Doc. Just hand over your gun.
What happened to Anders?
Nothing. He just ain't Marshal anymore.
Well, here's my gun. If you see Anders, tell him I asked after him, will you?
Sure, I will. Just keep your nose clean in my town, Doc.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Just what it sounds like. You can pick your gun up on the way out of town.
I was waiting for Doc at the Cattle Palace. It hadn't changed in the year except for the addition of an oil painting. A nymph who would have, had she been in three dimensions, fallen over immediately on her face. There was a distinct difference in the quality of the liquid refreshment. And I was debating this fact with the barkeep when Doc came up.
Now listen here, peddler. You asked for whiskey and I served you a glass. All the whiskey I got. All comes out of one barrel.
Excuse me, sir. Half of it may come out of a barrel. The other half undoubtedly comes out of a well.
What's the trouble, Pablo?
Doc, I have often drunk bad whiskey. I've sometimes drunk bad water. But I object from them being combined.
Now listen, mister. Don't let your friend here make a fuss. It'll only get us all into trouble.
Is that whiskey really watered?
You may take my word for it, Doc. It's strange. It was not so last year.
There are a lot of things changed since last year.
You having any trouble, Fitzsimmons?
No, Mr. Carson. No trouble at all. Just talking to a couple old friends, that's all.
Yeah? Well, just call me if there's anything wrong. That's what I'm here for.
Oh, sure I will. Ain't no trouble, none at all.
When you get through, bring a double over to my table.
Sure, Mr. Carson. Fire it up. Now, you see what you could have done? Now, if you don't want the whiskey, just get out quiet, will you? Don't make no trouble.
Who was that?
Gandy Carson. He's a deputy marshal.
Does the marshal's office always take such a close interest in your clientele?
There's a deputy in all the places up and down the street. Keeps order, you know.
Uh-huh. I suppose you're bringing him his drink on the house.
Why, sure.
And all he does is keep order here in the saloon?
Sure, he's a deputy, ain't he?
Huh, I suppose so. Anyway, he has the star. Say, do you know if Milt Anders is still in town?
Now, listen, mister. Will you drink that poison mineral water or whatever you got and take your business across the street to the Stockman's Rest?
I got enough trouble. Now, listen. What happened to Anders?
You'll excuse me, gentlemen. I got to serve Mr. Carson.
About 3 o'clock in the morning, Doc and I were sleeping in our room at the hotel.
Who's there?
Doctor?
What's the matter? Somebody sick?
Let me in.
Just a minute.
Doc, what is it?
Someone at the door.
Oh, no.
What's the matter?
Come in, Doctor.
Who is that?
Milton Anders.
Oh, Mr. Anders. Come on in. Wrong? Is somebody sick?
No. Leastwise, not the way you mean.
Well, look, wait a minute. I'll light the lamp.
No, don't bother. I heard you was asking for me.
That's right.
Anything special?
Why, no. I just thought I'd say hello.
That is an impression you gave Cal Benson.
You mean the new marshal?
That's right. He gave orders to have you run out of town tomorrow morning.
What?
That's why I came to see you tonight. When you open that door tomorrow morning, there'll probably be a couple of his deputies waiting for you.
What for? What charge could he have against me?
Practicing medicine without proper qualifications.
That's ridiculous. For one thing, I haven't even been practicing medicine in Rail End. And for another, I'm...
Save your breath to cool your coffee, Doc. You got a choice. You can either wait and get heaved out tomorrow morning, or ride out with me now.
And what is this? What's going on here? We came into this town last year, and, well, it was peaceful as a church.
Yeah, that was last year.
Well, what happened? Who is this Benson? How'd he get to be marshal?
Let's hold that, Doc. I don't know as I can discuss Cal Benson without raising my voice. And I wouldn't want to get overheard right now.
But how'd he get to be marshal?
That's the way it is with politics, Doc. In Washington, in the territorial capital, Republicans come and go, and so do the Democrats. They take care of their own. That's why I got appointed in the first place. Right now, Benson's in and I'm out. Look, Doc, I suggest you make up your mind whether you're going to leave town on your own steam or on request.
Well, I suppose I might as well go with you. Pablo?
Oh, I'm with you, Doc. You know, I've been asked to leave places several times in my career, and it is not always a pleasant sensation.
Well, let's go then.
I'll just poke the fire up. Not a bad place up here in the hills. Ain't as cozy as the marshal's office. But it does.
What happened in Rail End, Mr. Andrews? Who is this Benson?
He's the marshal. Only man in town that can carry a gun. I took care of that for him.
But what's he doing?
I'd say Cal Benson and his buddies are having a rare old time. They got all the saloons and place of entertainment lined up. Got to kick in a percentage of the take for extra protection.
Yes, we saw that in operation.
Benson has a take on every head of cattle that goes through the railroad pens. We've got to deal with the roads for protection.
You mean the railroads are paying them off, too?
Sure. It's worth it to them. And that ain't the whole of it. You can walk down the streets of Rail End and see killers and rustlers from all over the territory, looking like butter wouldn't melt in their mouths. It's safe as in a church.
How's that?
Well, welcome, Doc. So long as they park their guns.
And they agree to do that?
Sure. With a marshal, the only one who can carry a shooting iron, they got nothing to be afraid of. Not so long as they pay them off.
But can't you do something?
Who? Me? There's a warrant out for my arrest.
What for?
You see, somehow or other, the telegram from the territorial capital replacing me with Benson got delivered to him. He stepped up to me at the bar in the Stockman's Rest and tried to arrest me for carrying a gun. He didn't mention the why till after I put a bullet through one of his deputies who tried to jump me from behind. I'm wanted for murder.
But can't you fight it out?
There's a lot of them. And only one me. I ain't that good with a gun. Nobody is.
Suppose he gave yourself up. They'd have to ship you to the circuit court for trial. Your case would stand up.
Doc, it's sure a caution how many prisoners Benson's holding in that jail that suddenly gets shot trying to escape.
Oh.
I really rigged myself a rabbit trap, Doc. And it's got me by the leg for fair.
I mean, the ordinance.
I remember when I put it through. Laura Handershot told me there was something in the Constitution about the right of the people to bear arms. I told him I wasn't interested in the Constitution. I had a herd of wild animals to corral. And if I could dehorn them, I was going to. That's the way I looked at it, Doc. I wasn't stepping on nobody's toes but murderers and drunk, peace-breaking cowpokes.
Well, you couldn't have foreseen what Benson's doing.
Nope, I couldn't. So I just went ahead, didn't I? Funny, ain't it?
Very.
Oh, I was right in the way, Doc. A town like Rail End ain't going to be worth much with shootings and law-breaking. But I reckon I was trying the shortcut, huh? I sure made it easy for Cal Benson.
Mr. Anders, what are you going to do?
I figure on sneaking down through Texas and shipping out. We're starting in with cattle down in South America. I used to know something about punching cows. I reckon I could learn to do it. In Spanish?
There must be some way to clean Benson out.
I reckon there is, Doc. But it ain't my way.
I'll leave it a hand to shot of somebody like that. I messed it up enough. Who would figure just chipping a piece off a thing like a constitution would end me up chasing longhorns in Argentina?
Well, there is no heroic end to this tale. The town of Rail End is still under Marshal Benson. And there is some hope that after the next election there may be a change. But I doubt it. For one thing, the opposition candidate, a young lawyer named Hendershot, was killed by a deputy marshal who claimed he mistook him for a rustler. There was one aftermath. We rode into Frenchman's Ford on a Saturday night and stopped at the Bull Run. There was a gay frolic underway as we entered. Doc, my friend, I think that after tonight, you might convince O'Shea to back your ordinance against guns.
No. No, Pablo, I'm afraid I've lost enthusiasm for that ordinance. Let them carry their guns. Someday they'll put them aside. May not be as easy as taking them away now, but in the long run, that's a pretty sound document, that a constitution. It's worth sawing up a few bullet holes for it.
Six Gun is played by Carl Weber and Pablo by William Griffiths. Tonight's script was written by Ernest Kenoy. Heard in the cast were William Keene as O'Shea, Santos Ortega as Anders, Joe DeSantis as Matt, and Lon Clark as the barkeep.
Six Gun, starring Carl Weber as the frontier doctor, with William Griffiths as Pablo, the wandering gypsy, has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
We hope that you've enjoyed this recording, and for more happy listening, please visit otrcat.com.